Would like to say a good morning to all of you. My name is Stuart Mizell, and I'm the lead pastor here. It's great to see all of you here. Thank you for those of you who are joining us online. Thank you all for your patience in dealing with our steeple situation. I do not think that the steeple will fall while we are worshiping because we're Presbyterian. And it reminds me of this, there was this Babylon Bee. I don't know if you've ever heard of Babylon Bee, but there was an article, it was a fake article, about how the lights in the Presbyterian church went off during the worship service because the light sensors that detect movement did not detect any movement, and so all the lights went off. So I think we're fine. I think we're fine. We're starting a new series today called Living on a Prayer. And what we're doing here is we're talking about prayer, obviously. We're talking about a specific prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Now, one thing that I know about all Christians that I've ever talked to, every single Christian I've ever talked to says prayer is important. And almost every Christian I've ever talked to, there are some exceptions, tell me that they struggle to pray. All right, so Jesus gives us his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, to help us with that struggle. And that's what we're going to be doing as we look at this passage for the next several weeks. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And I know normally I read from the ESV for this series, and I will explain this at another time, not right now. I'm going to be reading from what's called the Majority Standard Bible. All right? So here it goes. This is God's Word from Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus himself teaching his disciples, that includes us, how to pray. And when you pray, do not babble on like pagans, for they think that by their many words they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So then, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us how to pray. Today, by your Holy Spirit, work in each and every one of us, those who are here in person and those who are watching online, that we would grow in our desire to pray, in our confidence in praying, and relying on you, Holy Spirit, to move us and to help shape our prayers so that we will be more confident prayers. We long to have true fellowship with you and to pray as you call us to. So would you please, Holy Spirit, be at work in powerful ways today. In the name of Jesus, amen. So back in the 1970s, I was a young child. And my mom didn't work, and so she would take me everywhere she went. And so that meant when she went shopping, she would take me shopping with her. And one of the things that I remember very vividly, for some reason, was about some of those shopping trips, we would see this product from Simplicity. And I think we have an image of that product. There it is. If you don't know what this is a sewing pattern for superhero costumes. And as a young child, I got really excited when I saw these. Now, I don't know much about sewing patterns, and maybe you don't either, but sewing patterns, basically, this company, Simplicity, they made a lot of these, and they would supply the sewer with paper that was printed with numerical guides and instructions, kind of like this, another image, and you can see that you've got this paper with these images on it, and the sewer pins that paper on the fabric, and then with the scissors, you know, they cut along the lines, and then they sew those pieces together, and in the case that I'm talking about, it would be a glorious superhero outfit. So there we are in the middle of the store, and, you know, my mom was really into sewing. And as a young boy, I was really into superheroes. So I thought that this Simplicity pattern was a match made in heaven. And so I would beg my mom, "Mom, you gotta get this. This will be great. You can sew it together and I can be a superhero." And this is where I would show you a picture of me in the superhero outfit if it actually happened. But my mom always said no. Now, to be fair to my mom, she did make me a superhero cape so I could be Superman, but it was just the cape. And I don't have any pictures to show you. I'm sorry. I wish I did. I know. You know, my mom didn't know how to make a superhero outfit. Probably none of you would know how to do that. With the Simplicity product, though, you could use that pattern that's supplied to teach you how to make one of your own. And I'm using that illustration to try to get us into what I think Jesus is trying to help us with by giving us the Lord's Prayer, is that there is a pattern that he gives us that helps us to pray. Because most of us, we don't really know how to pray. And when we try to pray, we fumble and stumble. But Jesus gives us this prayer, this model prayer, this pattern prayer to be able to use to help us to grow in praying properly. And so that's our big point for today, that Jesus has given us a pattern for prayer. Jesus has given us a pattern for prayer. And that pattern is the Lord's Prayer, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But let's see the context here. In verse 7, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not babble on like pagans, for they think that by their many words they will be heard." Now, apparently, in that society, in that culture, those who were not Jewish, those who did not believe in the one and true God, they were called pagans, Gentiles, and they would pray like just saying the same phrases over and over and over again because they thought if they said a lot of words, maybe, just maybe, their God would give them what they were asking for. And we may look at that and go, "Well, I'm glad we're not like that." But I think this passage actually may hit us a little harder than we may be tempted to think. And before I move on, let me just say this. I am not trying to make anyone feel bad about their prayer life. I am not trying to embarrass anyone about the way they pray. I am not trying to make you feel self-conscious about the way we pray. But you have to admit that when Christians pray, sometimes we say weird things, and we do it in weird ways. Ways that when we're talking to one another, we would look at each other and go, "That's nuts. Why are you talking to me like that?" Like, there's no way in the world that I would come home to dinner that my wife prepared and say to her, Dear Donna, I come before you now, and I thank you, O wife, that you have made this meal for our family to enjoy, wife Donna. You are so good to us, O mother of our children. I give thanks to you for the blessings you have bestowed upon us this day and every day, wife Donna. And I do just want to ask you that you would be with us and continue to make delicious meals for us, wife Donna. And if it would be your will, I would just ask, wife Donna, please don't make meatloaf. You know, I mean, she would look at me like I'm nuts if I did that, right? But that's the way we often pray. And I think that part of the reason why we pray that way is that we're uncomfortable, and so we babble, just like the pagans. And Jesus says to us, verse 8, do not be like them. We don't need to babble. We simply need to come to our Father who knows what we need before we ask Him. And then he says, verse 9, so then, this is how you should pray. And then he gives us what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, let me say a few words here, because sometimes I think we get confused about what the Lord's Prayer is. The Lord's Prayer was not meant to be a recitation, right? It's not like the Pledge of Allegiance, where we all just stand still and, you know, put our hand over our heart and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not what it's supposed to be. It's not like a poem, reciting a poem. You know, once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary. It's not that. It's not like reciting the Muslim prayer, Salah, where you have to say the right words at the right time and use the right motions. It's not like any of that. No, this prayer is a template, okay? It is a guide. It is a pattern. It is not meant to be a fixed mantra. Now, this prayer can be prayed verbatim, where you say the exact words, and we can do that, and we often do that here in this church. But it was meant to serve more as a guide for our prayer rather than a word-for-word recitation. And I was trying to come up with an example of how this might help us to understand it. The first thought I had in my mind was training wheels. But I realized that didn't work, because with training wheels, you use the training wheels for a while, but when you take the training wheels off and you're comfortable riding the bike all yourself, you don't use your training wheels anymore. That's not the case with the Lord's Prayer. As long as we live in this life, we will always be able to use the Lord's Prayer as a guide, as a template. Okay, so training wheels doesn't really work. Because we're having a spaghetti dinner and cake auction, of course I thought about recipes. The problem with recipes, though, is that while on some level it's true, you can take a recipe and you can modify it so much that it's kind of the same, but it's not really. Right? So, being a musician, the thing that I thought of that made the most sense to me was jazz. Now, I don't know how many of you are jazz fans, but in jazz, you take a melody and a chord structure, and that's what you have, and then you improvise within that melody and that chord structure. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, let me give you an example. Okay, so Duke Ellington, he wrote a song. Well, actually, Billy Strayhorn wrote the song, but Duke Ellington played it, called Take the A-Train. And I have a recording slowed down so that everybody can hear the melody and the chords. Can we play that really quick? Here it is. Okay, So that's just a small excerpt from that song, Take the A Train. It's the melody and the chords, right? But in jazz, what you're meant to do is not just stick squarely and slavishly to that melody line, but you're to improvise. You're to take that melody and that chord structure and you're to explore the space a little bit. And so it sounds a little bit more like this. So you see, you can tell the chords are the same. You can tell that the melody is still in there, but you've moved around in that space a bit. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is meant to be. It gives you the structure. It gives you the content to work from, but then you improvise. See, there's so many people that they recite the Lord's Prayer, but they don't pray the Lord's Prayer. Let me say that again. There are many people who recite the Lord's Prayer, but they don't pray the Lord's Prayer. J.C. Ryle, in his expository thoughts on Matthew, said it this way: thousands, it may be feared, repeat these words daily as a form, but never consider what they are saying. They care nothing for the glory, the kingdom, or the will of God. They have no sense of dependence, sinfulness, weakness, or danger. They have no love or charity toward their enemies. And yet they repeat the Lord's Prayer. These things ought not to be so. May we resolve that by God's help, our hearts shall go together with our lips. And to that I give a hearty amen. When I was a teenager, I played in a marching band, and before we would go out, every single time before we would go out on the field to play at a football game, our director would say, "All right, before we go out, let's say the Lord's Prayer." And I remember thinking, this is weird, because why are we doing this? I mean, I wasn't really a believer at the time. I did go to church, but I wasn't really a believer. So I thought that was weird. I thought it was weird that my school was doing it. And I really thought it was weird that all these people around me that I knew, they were less Christian than I was, and yet they were saying these words. The words are meant to be prayed, not recited. And they're meant to be improvised within the structure of what Jesus says, because you can say dead words over and over. You can say even good words over and over and over again, and you're doing nothing but babbling on like pagans again. Right? So what we're to do is to take this Lord's Prayer and we're to learn to pray from it. It is like training wheels in that it helps us, but it's not training wheels, because we'll always keep it. It is a little bit like a recipe, because we're supposed to follow it, but we're not supposed to change it in any way. No, it's a lot more like jazz, where we can play around within the structure that Jesus gives us and improvise. And as we explore what Jesus has given us, we can pray from our heart. You can see, this model that Jesus has given us, this model of prayer, where Jesus instructs us in the attitudes and priorities of prayer, this is what we use it for. This model prayer of Jesus instructs us in the attitudes and priorities of prayer. Because I know that I'm like this, and I'm sure that many of you are like this. We all have a tendency to turn our prayer into a laundry list of things we want God to do for us. Now, it's not wrong to ask God for things. It is not wrong. In fact, God invites us to. A few years ago, I preached another series on prayer, and I remember very clearly preaching from Philippians 4:6, where we talked about this. But let me repeat this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. everything. There is not one area of your life that you are not allowed to pray about. Okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let them be known. Whatever your request is, you can go to your God and you can ask, knowing that, well, he may say no, but he also may say yes, or he may say not yet. But regardless, we can bring whatever it is that we're dealing with and wondering about to our Father who loves us. But sometimes that's all it is, right? That's all it is. We just bring our list of requests. There's no praise of God. There's no acknowledgement of who he is. It's just sort of like, okay, God, here we go. I know I'm supposed to pray, so bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so. And, oh, yeah, give me a good day tomorrow and make sure this happens. And, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You know, so-and-so, their toenail is hurting, so, you know, give them some healing. And, you know, they just keep going on like that, right? What Jesus gives us in this model prayer is, hey, look, these are the attitudes and the priorities of what your prayers should be shaped by. Right? Verse 9, our Father in heaven. This tells us that we've got childlike dependency, humility, and love, as well as awe and wonder and reverence. The next part of verse 9, hallowed be your name. It's not about me. See, we tend to make prayer all about us. And really prayer is saying, your name, O God, be set apart. Your name is to be the most important name. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, it's about what you want. We want your kingdom to come in all of its fullness. We want your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And not just in my life, but all over the world, right? Sometimes our prayers are so narrow-minded because we don't pray with the attitude that God has for us. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And again, there it is. See, ask for what you need today. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And so, hey, we're supposed to admit when we've wronged people, when we've wronged God. We're supposed to confess that, ask for forgiveness, but also to live out a life of forgiveness. It's not okay to say, Lord, please forgive me for this sin. And then when someone sins against us, say, oh, I'll never forgive you for that. It's not right. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Here again, we're praying, Lord, I don't want to fall into temptation. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be taken over by evil. Protect me. And then verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, ending the prayer saying, it's all about you, not about me. Because we can tend to make prayer all about us. And so Jesus is reminding us, no, here are the attitudes. Here are the priorities of prayer. These are the kinds of things you pray about. Now, you can, again, variations on a theme, improvise. When you say, give us today our daily bread, that could be not just bread, but it could be all kinds of needs that you have for that day. But you're improvising within the structure. Another thing that I would be remiss if I didn't say this. This prayer reminds us that we are a community. This prayer reminds us that we are a community of disciples. And not merely individuals who are followers of Jesus. No, we're a community. Notice that the prayer isn't, My Father in heaven, give me today what I personally need. Forgive me my debts. It's not that. Look, let's look at the passage ourselves, verse 9. It's our Father, right? Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, because we're not just concerned about ourselves, we're concerned about our community of faith. We're concerned about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're concerned about other people. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And then verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's not just about me. Our prayers can be so individualistic. They can be so self-centered. They can be so self-focused. They can be so self-absorbed. And Jesus is saying, get out of yourself and see something bigger than just you. There's a glorious God who you get to call Father, and a great group of people that no person will be able to number when it's all said and done, who are your brothers and sisters. Let's pray for them. And I guess that leads me to the final thing that I want to say today. The Lord's Prayer is not just a pattern that shows us how to pray. Every phrase of this prayer demonstrates the grace of God in Christ toward us. Every single phrase is an expression of something of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus, of God's grace that is found in Christ toward those of us who believe. I'm going to walk you through this real quickly, and we'll talk about this further as we walk through this passage together, verse by verse, line by line, but I want you to see the big picture today. Verse 9, our Father in heaven, that very first phrase. Think about John 1:12. To all who did receive him, that is to receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you believe in Jesus, you have been adopted into the family and you can call God your Father. That's grace. The next phrase, hallowed be your name. God's name is to be set apart as the most important name. And if you love God, you want that to happen. Am I right? Listen to the good news, Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It will happen. God's name will be set apart all over the world so that everyone on the world at some point in the future will know the glory of God in all of its fullness, and they will either bow the knee willingly or bow the knee unwillingly, but they'll all bow the knee. The next phrase is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I think about this, I know Gifford was praying today about how the fallen nature of our world, it's broken, it's painful, it hurts. And when we look at how damaged our world is, we want something better, right? And that's what this is. We want your kingdom to come, not my kingdom, your kingdom. We want your will to be done here on earth, not my will, your will. Well, listen, again, hear the good news. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. I am. And then he goes on in Revelation 22, No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, in this new heaven and new earth. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more, and they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's some good news, right? That's God's kingdom come, his will done on earth as it is in heaven. And you, if you believe in this, you get to share in that. Verse 11, the next phrase, Give us this day our daily bread. Philippians 4:19, My God will supply every need of yours. How? According to his riches in glory. In Christ Jesus. See? Every phrase of this, every phrase shows us something of the grace of God. Verse 12, Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Colossians 2:13, You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us a few of our trespasses. Is that what it says? Most, but not all. Is that what it says? What does it say? All. All of them. Those little teeny things that you think nobody knows about, but they're still sin. All the way up to the big stuff. That just makes you fall to the ground and weep because you can't believe you allowed yourself to do that. All. Of the sins nailed to the cross, and we bear it no more. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And the Lord's Prayer shows us that. Verse 13, the next phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. One of my new favorite verses is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It reminds me of this great truth. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You hear that? When we pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. God says, of course not. I'm not going to do that. Thank you for praying. Thank you. That's what I want you. I want you to have that mindset. Now, look for the way of escape because I provide it every single time. It's always there. Look for it. And then to deliver us from the evil one, God says to us, Galatians 1:3-4, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father. He is our deliverer from evil. And then the last phrase, For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yeah, it's all about you, Lord, but guess what God does? 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Now, listen to this. I can't explain it. I can't give you a full-blown idea of what this is really like, but listen to these glorious words. We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. God shares His kingdom with us. He shares the glory with us for all eternity. That's what our God has done for us in Christ. And every time we pray the Lord's Prayer or improvise within the Lord's Prayer, every time we are repeating the gospel of Jesus to ourselves. That it's not about my works. It's not about how good I pray. It's not about whether I pray the Lord's Prayer correctly or not. It's about His grace in Christ. It's good news indeed, isn't it? So your action point, this is going to be throughout, but for today, practice praying according to the pattern Jesus has given us. That's what we need to do here. Practice it. Practice praying according to this pattern. Repeat the gospel to yourself and pray it back to your God, because He loves you and wants you to grow in being a better prayer, more confident in your prayers. And you'll notice that there's not a "so let's" at the end of your outline, those of you who follow outlines. That's because I want to close the sermon today practicing praying this pattern. So let's pray. Father, thank You for being our Father, adopting us into Your family through Jesus, and giving us the Spirit of adoption so that we really are Your children. And as a good Father, You know how to give good gifts to Your children, and You give us so many good things. Thank You. As we think about what we've heard today, I can't help but want to pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly and bring about that new heaven and new earth, because we long to see the name of our God set apart all over the world, that the knowledge of Your glory would be on every mind and every heart and seen by every set of eyes and heard by every ears, that we would be people who would really simply live in the glory like fish swimming in the sea. Bring about the fullness of Your kingdom and Your will being done here on earth the way it is in heaven. And let that start with me. Let that start with us here, Westminster Presbyterian Church, that we would be those who seek first Your kingdom and live out Your will willingly. And we all have lots of things that we need today. If we did the laundry list, it would be miles long, but we're thankful that You know what we need even before we ask. So, as a good Father, please meet our needs today and give us by Your Spirit that trust that we can walk in trust, knowing that You really will supply our needs. Forgive us of our sins. We fail every single day. And work within us all of the ways that You have in us so that we will not only love people but forgive them from the heart the way that You've forgiven us. Show us the way out of temptation. Show us the way of escape. Fix our eyes on Jesus so that we don't even get bothered by the temptation. Deliver us from any evil and from the evil one. And it's not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, be the power, be the kingdom. Everything is yours, including us. Teach us to live that way. Amen.